Again, you will see in your order of service that the preacher this morning is the Right Reverend Genevieve Blackwell. I can assure you I am not the Right Reverend Genevieve Blackwell. And it's good to be with you. One, I think, would have to have the hardest of hearts to not be moved by our readings from Scripture dedicated this Sunday. The first reading from that second book of Samuel continues the tragic saga of David's rape of Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, and then the deliberate, willful sending of Uriah, a soldier under his command, to the front lines of war, where David commanded his army to fall back from him right in the heat of battle. Uriah predictably dies entirely at David's command. And David then marries Bathsheba after the requisite period of mourning, which David, at least for show, respects. The utter selfishness of David's act, the inhumanity, the violence, the rape, and the immoral abuse of power is brought before him by Nathan, a prophet of God, in a narrative that provokes David and surely moves our heart. Nathan tells a story of a rich man with everything at his disposal, paddocks full of lambs, who takes the one sole lamb of a poor man as his own, eating it as if it were his. Hearing the story, David goes berserk with indignation, and Nathan, prophet of God, then drives the knife in, skewering David for his hardness of heart, his selfishness, his immorality, his sinfulness, in one of the most poetic and, I would say, moving pieces of prose in much of Scripture. "You are that man," says Nathan. Our second lesson from the letter to the Ephesians changes gear and teaches us not to be baseless, selfish, amoral rulers like David, but to, quote, "lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." Those words should be written over the door of our church and be read every time we come in. The author then waxes lyrical about the connectedness that we share as the body of Christ, connected to each other like parts of one body, each with our roles to play and our gifts to share. We quote this text every time we celebrate Eucharist. We are the body of Christ, in affirmation of its truth and its grace. Keeping up the scriptural tempo this morning is a discussion with Jesus in St. John's Gospel, in which our patron saint, St. John, reminds us of at least these three important truths. One, that all the signs of Jesus, the walking on water, the feeding of the 5,000, the healing and the resurrection, point to God and only to God. That this God is the provider of all that we have, both the actual bread of life, but also the deep down satisfying, spiritually nourishing bread of life that Jesus describes himself as. And the profound answer to the profound question, "What is the work of God?" we hear is this. "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." That all we need to do as followers of God and to do the work of God is to believe in Jesus as the one whom God has sent. Well, that sounds pretty simple, right? All of our readings from Scripture this morning pull at our hearts. They should make us think and make us measure up ourselves against the message of Scripture. This is as it should be. We read Scripture together not because the values and teachings of Scripture are there for someone else. They are there for someone else, but they are there for us. For you and me as the people of God, parishioners new or old. We read Scripture to move us and to shape us as people of God, to be the people of God. And Scripture pokes and prods and prompts us to assess and reassess ourselves in the light of its teaching. But here's a curious and powerful thing. Just as much as we read Scripture, Scripture also reads us. Always remember that Scripture, the living Word of God, also reads us. So this morning, the story of Nathan and David skewers our own hypocrisy. It moves us to consider the needs of women who are abused by powerful men. It makes us think about the misuse of power. If we do this, either of those things, it says to us, as it said to David, "You are that man." And equally, the reading from Ephesians prompts us to consider again the nature of the life of our church. That we are the body of Christ, as we say every week, and because we are such, every person here has a role to play in the life of our church. Just as there aren't any parts of a physical body that don't contribute to the life of the whole body, no one here should consider themselves as separate from the needs of the whole church. And lastly, the reading from St. John, deep and wide in the wonder and awe of the miracles of Jesus and the God to whom they point, reads our misunderstanding about the work of God. That the work of God is actually belief in Jesus, and from that everything else will flow. We do indeed read and judge the scriptures, but just as much the scriptures read and judge us. They judge us as the very words of God that separate the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats, and that which brings godly life from that which brings misery and sin. Amen.